Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Talk Straight. This is your host, Ruben Dockery, and we're delighted to have you here this November 10th, 2016 talk show. This is our sixth episode, and again, welcome to Talk Straight. Talk Straight is an online radio format designed to assist Building Families and Communities Institute, that's BFC, in reaching a nationwide audience. Weekly topics will focus on real issues confronting families and communities. Yours truly, acting as a host, we will share and engage our listening audience and other experts of various disciplines of study in various topics or provocative conversations. Additionally, the show will serve as a catalyst for sharing relevant information to our online community. And I want to emphasize the fact that you are our important guest and an integral part of the show. A number that you can call to share with us and participate live as you listen in is 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. We thank you for listening tonight, and we're going to open the mic up this evening. So, as you well know, November 8th brought a change that most people were not prepared to deal with, frankly. And in the aftermath of a rather protracted national election cycle for about a year or two, election 2016, many people were stunned, frankly, while others were delighted or happy. They were pleased with the outcome. But I'd like tonight for us to talk about it. Regardless of what your political position or party affiliation is, the question I want us to really delve into is, where do we go from here, and how can we remain united on what is in the best interest for our families, our communities, and society as a whole? Again, I want to encourage you to take advantage of the opportunity, call in to share your thoughts, and let's process it. Let's deal with it right here at Talk Straight with your host, Ruben Dockery. The number is 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. Just in case you are a new listener and you're not familiar with our format, let me take a second to explain how we will do this. We'll begin by giving some background or some context for our dialogue and conversation. And then afterwards, we will open the mic up tonight. Normally, if we have a guest that will come on, we will have them to, we'll introduce them about 15 minutes after the start of the show and to bring them in and have them to give their information based on their expertise, and then we will open the mic to our audience. We're going to do things a little different tonight. Because this is really an issue that we must deal with, we are the experts, and I'm happy to facilitate our discussion as the host. This is Reuben Dockery again, your host right here at Talk Straight, and I want to encourage you to call in and share your thoughts. So for the first 10, 15 minutes, I'll give you some context and background, and then we're going to open up the line. I think we have my good friend here, and who's been sitting in with us here lately, Reverend Ricky Waller, who's also a supporter for Building Families and Communities Institute and our greater efforts, which I'll talk about a little bit more, to promote a national lecture, seminar and lecture, in the interest of bringing useful information to communities to help their families, as well as fund our local effort in Nashville, Tennessee, the Parent Empowered Initiative. I'll talk a little bit more about that down the road. But let me welcome my good friend, Reverend Waller. Reverend Waller, how are you doing, sir?
Are you there?
Okay. We're not quite hearing him right now, but I'm sure he's online with us. Reverend Waller, if you're there, go ahead and chime in with us. But I'll just keep going. Again, the number is 657-383-0944. Please feel you're welcome. Call us. Participate with us in this conversation tonight. So let me just kind of give some background for our discussion, Election 2016, the aftermath. I think it is useful to, and if you're on Facebook with us, you know that we listed our first thread of questions, our first question on our thread of questions, rather. And you know, what we posed a question to the audience is where or when were each of the two major political parties formed and who were their leaders? But before I answer that, I think it's important for us to kind of understand this term Democrat and Republican in the context of America or being an American citizen. And some people may not be aware of how they came into existence and where the friction came from both of those parties. I noticed that there were a lot of young people today and yesterday, really, after the election, very, very despondent by the outcome. And they were in the streets in protest. Well, there are some things that are in order to protest. But one of those things that it is not appropriate and will lead to nothing is to protest an election, a national election, especially when it was won fair and square. Some people may argue that it's fair and square, and I want to hear from you tonight. I want you to dialogue with me if you do, if you believe that it was not fair and square. But let me just give a little context. So in the United States, we have what is known as a constitutional republic. And what that means simply is, as a constitutional republic, we serve as a state or government where the officials are elected as representatives of the people and must govern according to existing constitutional laws that limit the government's power over those people that they represent. Now, the republic, as we know it, as I just mentioned, it tends to explicitly place emphasis or power in the hands of the people via their vote. But in addition to that, we have a concept called democracy. And a democracy is a system of government in which people, the people itself is vested with powers, but there's a focus on the majority rule. So it is the dominant will or the majority will that tends to make the decision. So while government is for and by the people, and it is intended to represent the interests of those people, it is the majority vote or outcome that determines how everybody go along. And in healthy societies, everybody agree that we'll accept that as a rule. This is what has happened on the November the 8th. A majority of the people, or I should rephrase that, a majority of people did vote Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in. She won the popular vote. However, in America, we have a system by which the Electoral College, which I believe it was around 1813 that it came into existence, it was established to determine, based on proportionment of representatives in each state, how many votes will go to a presidential candidate. The difficulty was in those presidential candidates being able to trek all over the United States and accurately count in a reasonable time. So the easy system was to come up with the Electoral College, where, again, as I mentioned, you will, based on the proportionment of representatives or elected officials on the state level, they will determine, each of those people will be selected, and they will cast a vote for the president based on the popular vote on the state, on the state level. And then in terms, however many of those votes are, the presidential candidate will receive those. Now, some states don't give what they call winner takes all. For instance, Florida had, I think, 29 votes. And when Donald Trump recently won that with a slight margin, he got all of those votes. California had 55 votes. Hillary Clinton easily took all of those votes because she won the popular vote in that state, and therefore she received the Electoral College vote to her favor. And so as a result, that was the outcome. But all around America, and when the final votes were cast, Donald J. Trump was the one who won the Electoral College vote. Now, I want to emphasize something here. The preamble to the United States Constitution, it was a statement that gave a introduction, if you will, and it really spoke to what the purpose of our Constitution was and why it was we were establishing the government. You're familiar with the preamble, and it says simply, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union," that was the first objective, "establish justice," that was the second objective, "ensure domestic tranquility," that was the third objective, "provide for the common defense," that was the fourth objective, "promote the general welfare," that was number six, and lastly, "secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and posterity." They go on to say, "We do ordain and establish this Constitution." This law, this document was intended to provide or to offer those three, or to meet those three objectives, I should say. I mean, those six objectives that I just previously spelled out. When we see individuals upset and frustrated by the outcome, I think it's important to help them understand that the system, electoral system and everything we have, was set up in such a way that we wouldn't fight, and to ensure domestic tranquility or peace, to make sure that it was a just and legal process, and to maintain the integrity of the Union of the 50 States of the United States of America.
So I think it's important for us to know that despite our frustration, our anguish, these things are in place for a reason. Now, I began asking the question simply, when were each of the two major political parties formed, and who were their leaders? The answer to that simply is that in 1856, the Republican Party was made up some of those Whig individuals and some that were part of the Parliament. They had several different parties in the United States prior to that when the country first started, and they began to fizzle out, and the two major parties maintained themselves, and those others joined one of those two major parties. Well, the Republican Party began as the Grand Old Party, or you may see GOP, and it was founded in 1854. Since that time, there have been 18 Republican presidents, the first one being Abraham Lincoln, and he served in office from 1860 to 1865. Of course, you know, he didn't finish his full term because he was elected again, in 1864, but in 1865 he was assassinated. And since that time, the most recent Republican president of the Republican Party, the Grand Old Party, was George W. Bush, and he served from 2001 to 2009. As you know, November the 8th, 2016, really the 9th, sometime in the morning and night, it was determined that businessman Donald J. Trump would be elected as the president-elect of the United States of America. And since that time, people have been a little frustrated. The Democratic Party was founded in 1828, and there have been 15 Democratic presidents. The first was Andrew Jackson. He was said to be the founder of the Democratic Party in 1828. And he served from 1829 through 1837. And the most recent, U.S. president, as we all know, is the current president, who is still in office until January 21st, 2017, and that's President Barack Hussein Obama. And he has been in office since 2009. Now, that's given us some background and some context. What I'd like to do is to offer you an opportunity to share in a call with us right here at 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. You can join us in the conversation. Let me see if my friend is here. Pastor Waller? Hello?
Yes, I'm tuned in.
Okay, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. How you doing?
Great. I trust you got to hear some of our background information here.
Yes, I did, man. I was able to tap into what you was talking about, and I think you're very knowledgeable about, when I say very knowledgeable about something that I think is appropriate to share with the people who don't know, such as myself,
right,
and many others to tell.
Okay.
I know little or not much at all when I say about politics. And I was so amazed on you sharing that, man, with all that's going on. And
okay.
Very good. But I'm tuned in and I'm listening, and it gave me a chance to recall and to acknowledge about knowing versus not knowing. And
right,
that is
right.
Which, man, you know, it's pretty tough on people. As you know, me myself, I take, and I would say this: I don't like losing. So I can only imagine if someone played the game and they played the game fair and win, where my coach taught me to accept when I lose.
Right.
That's what you're doing now, giving people the awareness of how this man happened to win and how to learn to accept it. You know, I think that's the tough part about it. And so I understand.
Yeah.
They call soul losers. I never been one of those. It didn't feel good when I lost. But again, I had to learn, I even practice how to deal with that. And so
sure.
It was amazing, yeah, just to hear you talk about that, man. And yeah, I'm sure some people will get a lot out of that.
I hope
a lot of people.
You know, I hope so. I saw where there were a lot of young people in various cities across the country. They were upset, Pastor Waller, because they felt as though more than just the candidate Hillary Clinton, that the things that were dear to them were lost. Somehow their lives were in peril, in jeopardy. Now, you know, our perceptions tend to be our reality, right? And I understand that. I understand that. But I wonder, I heard several young people, one lady, I believe she was in San Diego, she was a senior in high school, and her frustration was that, listen, I have family members who are undocumented immigrants, and he's talking about getting rid of them. I don't like them. And she began to cry, man. She couldn't hold her composure. I just wonder, though, if she has the proper understanding about how the electoral process works.
Yes.
If it would have helped to deal with her the loss of the party that she wanted to see in office.
Okay, that makes sense. Make a lot of sense.
You know, and then yesterday there were young people in the streets from Fisk University, you know, my alma mater. They were upset, and somebody asked him, said, well, what do you hope to accomplish from your marching? And he said, I want Donald Trump to apologize for all the things he said about women, for the things he said against Muslims and things of that nature. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, it was a rather protracted election, both in the primary as well as in the general. A lot of ugly things were done. Most people were just frustrated with the whole deal, right? But at the end of the day, it doesn't work like that.
No.
Unfortunately, he's not obligated or forced to. He's the president-elect now. And unless something happens between now and then, he will be inaugurated on January the 21st. Of 2017, and he has 4 years to serve in office. That's the way it works. But what are we going to do? That's my question. What is it that we do on our local, state, and municipal levels, in our counties and in our cities? How can we prepare ourselves and organize ourselves? You have any thought on that?
That's a good question. I mean, I personally, I would say I often think about that, too. Is the first thing first is to make sure you give this man a chance. And that's what, whether it don't have to do with whether I like it or not, it has to do with who in that slot. And, again, you know, once how to accept that. So that's one of the hardest things for people, for some people, I would say, to learn how to deal with that. Sometimes it takes more than others to get to a point where they say, okay, he won, and according to in times past, I think you look at all the other presidents that had that slot, I never have in my life. Of course, I haven't followed politics very much at all because I was too doing what I was doing and caught up. I didn't have presidential thought. Because I was in bondage during those years of my life, most of the years of my life. And to see what I was able to see just the other day, man, the people was unpleased. And they was taking it to the streets. And I was trying to find out what happened, you know. finding out that they said they didn't like what had just happened. Yeah. And I said, oh, I didn't know that's how you respond to a loss. I don't know if no one had evidence of someone cheating, you know, sometimes when a referee cheats, and again, I played sports a lot. And it took me back when you was talking about that, when you were sharing with the people, and I went all the way back to when I played with this team named Kappa Kittens when we was kids. Had a very unique baseball team. And they won the championship. So one day we played them a ball game. It was a baseball team. I played softball. And we happened to play them in a practice game. And I'm going to say this. My friend played third base. And I played first base. And he was pretty good. I was well. So we played the team, and they beat us. And on our way home, before we made it to the project, the coach had asked one of the guys on the baseball team to ask that fellow on first base and third base, do they want to go out for baseball? And sure enough, you know, we was happy when we came home and heard that. And by all means, we said, yes, we'll come over there and go out for the team next year. So anyway, we went out for the team, and I ended up on first base, and my partner ended up on third base. And so we made it all the way to the championship. Made it all the way to the championship against the same team that we beat before I got on the team. But remember, I wasn't on the championship team. This is another year now. And as the game was going on and the game got real tight, and all of a sudden the ball was hit down third base. And as my friend normally would do, he very seldom would miss a ball. He scooped the ball up and threw it over there to me at first base. And the reason why that coach wanted us on the team because he knew the third baseman could play and he knew I could play on first base. And I remember stretching as long as I could with my feet placed right where it needed to be, where the base runner won't step on my foot. I had it on the side, and the ump called the guy safe. I heard the ball hit my glove, and then I heard his foot hit the bag after the pow. Then he hit the bag with his feet, and the umpire said safe. Oh, man.
Wow.
How bad did I feel? Well, anyway, make a long story short, we ended up losing the game. Man, I was felt like we were cheated. And so that weighed on me for a long time, and sometimes it still lingers now, and that was almost 40 years ago.
I just trust it
don't take that long for somebody to accept that if the team won the game, learn how to first accept it, and then you find ways and means to support him. Because that's the thing that's going to have to be in order for us to do what you just asked. What are we going to do now? How are we going to be able to learn how to accept that people are people? And I found out in the ministry that God is no respectable person, and the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. When I heard things like that, that means that this earth is part of ours as well. And so if everybody can have an opportunity to accept that we're all in this thing together, then we can work through it. However, if they're so losing, and the losers don't take it well, and they keep that in their mind and on their hearts, and don't allow this man to do what he had to do for the time he'd be there, it'd be pretty tough. But I just trust that it don't be like that. You have to learn how to not be a sore loser, how to accept things that you can change. And then as you go forth, remember that you can change things that are changeable, strive to do it, and watch God. As, number one, have God in it. And not everybody's going to do that now. But,
Pastor Waller, even if we, for a second, I would never discourage anyone from exercising their faith. But if, for a second, we just looked at it purely from a social perspective, you have people in society with different views. And as I mentioned earlier, the framers understood we have to have a system of government that is fair and equitable, that gives you an opportunity, right?
Yes.
But when you're somebody who is young, and even maybe somebody who's chronologically grown or old, and you don't appreciate that principle order, it's difficult for you to get along with other people.
Oh, man, by all means, man. Yeah, I agree with
and
that.
In life, there would be things that you don't like, invariably.
Yes.
You know, how do you deal with that maturely? Now, I think a lot of people understand that, and it's interesting to me that most of the people I saw were young people who apparently were somewhat ill-informed and misguided about the electoral process. It's not a popularity contest.
No,
and it's not about like you do in high school, who's the most popular and who everybody, the people you know around you want to see. You know, I can tell you, having run a couple of political campaigns as a candidate myself, it's not always easy losing.
Yeah, sure. I know
you have to pick up pieces, and you got to keep it moving.
Yes. So you say it's not easy. See, that's the part right there, which you got to pick up and continue to move on. However,
right.
You say the people, young people who are not there, it's going to be tough unless they get this type of information that you're sharing to let them know that it wasn't about the many votes. And you shared
exactly.
That you talked about the particular votes that really actually counted and made the win place. And that's where he won. I think that's what you were saying about how many was it, 13, 18 votes? What was it that you shared about popular vote?
Yeah, but he won by the popular vote. No, I'm sorry. Candidate Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, but Trump won the Electoral College vote. Electoral College. That was established in about 1813.
Okay, now. And see,
You know how much?
If they knew that, it may help them to understand it a lot better if they knew
right.
that.
Now, it does seem fair to a lot of people, and I'm one of them, because what happens is on the state level, you can manipulate that. For instance, Tennessee is a predominantly Republican state. Just because it's predominantly Republican doesn't mean that the smaller population should have to automatically give up their it was 13 electoral votes for Tennessee, right? But what about the Democrats who wanted some or all of them to go to their candidate? The,
right.
the deal is the system that we have in place right now says that winner in Tennessee, winner gets them all. And because Tennessee is predominantly a Republican state, all of the rural counties that were very conservative typically voted, and that's who they wanted the elected people in the state of Tennessee to vote to give their votes to, their electoral votes to. And that's how it worked out.
And it worked out.
I agree that it doesn't seem fair. I do understand that, but that is the system that we have in place.
Right, right. But let me ask you this. Does it have to be that it seems fair or not for one to actually find the truth out? Because that's what it freaks us up. You know, if you know the truth about it, and then you can deal with it a lot better, because until then, they're going with it seems. You know, it seems like. You know, and that seeing thing, man, that's pretty heavy. You know, that's right. You know, it seems like
when
I'm going
the
right. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. You were saying you were making a great point. I was just going to add that when you examine the whole matter and understand how these things work, it helps you accept what seemed like, what looked like on the surface, unfair process. Because that same process for years have benefited the Democratic Party as well.
Okay.
You see? In fact, the current president is part of the Democratic Party, and as I mentioned, historically, there have been about 15 Democratic presidents that won using the same process. Now, should the Republicans have revolted and wanted to break away from the states and riot and what have you because their will was not met largely through the Electoral College process? No, but the time came where things shifted and the demographics were different and the will was different enough for the Republican Party to be able to win. And as I mentioned as well, we've had about 18 of those in the history of America.
Okay.
So I like your point. Education is key.
I would like to say so. I just wonder what they have done had they known this type of information, or did someone share this with them? I just don't get it, because when you jump to the gun and you you know, you don't look before you leap. And you just leap out there and just, you get ready to have a ride because we didn't like this. And they got to hire him. I said, what's going on? Because I didn't know what was happening. And I looked on the television, and I saw the people, and I saw all this long line of people, and they all drew a crowd. And all of a sudden I heard somebody say that he wasn't the president. I said, well, what happened? He said, what happened now? Because I wasn't used to seeing anything like that. Again, I wasn't following politicians or anything like that. That's why I didn't look at politics or anything like that. So I wonder, had it ever happened like that before?
Well, I'm glad you raised that question. We're going to take a brief commercial break here. On the other side of that, though, I want us to delve into that question. What does it mean, really, to cast your vote? You know? And to your point, it's important to understand, why should you be informed? How should you go about identifying who it is that you think can best represent your interests? So on the other side of this brief message, let's talk about that. Callers, you're listening to Talk Straight, your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we're on now with Pastor Ricky Waller, who is our who's sitting in as our panelist. But you are welcome to call us and share your ideas, your thoughts. In fact, we encourage and ask you to do so. On the other side of this brief break, we'll come back and we'll get back into the conversation. We're talking about election 2016, the aftermath.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, well, I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time, I's been a-climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners. Sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps. Cause you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now. For I still going, honey. I still climbing. And life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
Welcome back to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Y. Dockery. We're happy to have you. Tonight, we're talking from the topic, Election 2016, the aftermath. And we welcome you to give us a call and join in the discussion at 657-383-0944. Your comments, your questions are welcome. We have with us, again, our guest panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller, the author of the powerful book, Still High. And as said in previous shows, he has been supportive of Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated, or Institute, which is the research arm of the nonprofit, to do a few things. If you go to our website at bfcinstitute.com, you'll find several initiatives, one of which is a local Nashville-Davidson County initiative where we're working with the juvenile courts to help parents come up with solution strategies or intervention plans for their young people who have been referred to the courts for things like truancy, unruly behavior, and the sort. Your help, your contribution, your financial support will enable us to reach and to meet the needs of the clientele that are referred to us via the courts and possibly other sources like 211 here in Nashville. We have a national piece where we're sharing our crime intervention advocacy model. And it's a model, a research-based model, designed to help grassroots activists, churches, and other organizations come up with strategies based on your individual cities. And we have 10 cities that we've targeted that we want to begin this process with. And when you assist us by paying a registration fee for our seminar and lecture, our national seminar and lecture, you enable us to do that. And we are grateful again for all of your listening and participation. That lecture basically covers and explains why it is today in 2016 so many young Afro-American males are angry and ready to go to the streets to riot, to protest, and they feel as though their lives are in danger. Someone is coming after them. I want you to, again, feel free to join us right here. Pastor Waller will continue our dialogue. And as promised, we want to answer that question, that very important question that was raised on the other side of the break. And that is, just what does it really mean to cast a political vote? Some would argue it means absolutely nothing. In fact, during this election cycle, I ran into many people, and even when I was running not too long ago, people just said, it's a waste of my time because I'm not going to get anything out. I can't see how I'm getting anything out of it. So what does it really mean to cast a vote? The number is 657-383-0944. Please join us. Call in. Give us your questions, your comments, your suggestions. Pastor?
Yes, sir.
You there?
Yes, I am.
What do you think about the premise of that question?
Yeah, I think you're right on target. And I just sitting there meditating while the break was going on, you know, listening to the young man who was talking about the streets. And, you know, I couldn't say that while all the young people were in the streets. And I said to myself, I said, I wonder basically, do they know who they are? Because I remember I didn't even know who I was.
When I was young,
I didn't even know who I was. So
wow.
I didn't have a clue. And I think they're very intelligent. I think all of them,
sure,
because they had cast their vote, and I'm sure they was expected to win. And I said earlier, Pastor, I said, I just don't like losing. So I can only imagine the amount of people in the street. They did not like losing, man. And they felt like they lost. And so, you know, this is something that's very, very, very good to bring to the table and to be able to learn again. I would say to be able to learn, because that's what I'm doing now as you speak. I'm learning how to understand. If I'm going to be able to find out what can we, what can I do as an individual, according to society, and how I'm going to be able to deal with, you know, my kids, my grandkids, you know, things like that. And, you know, need some information. We're going to need some really good information, because this reminded me of, this is not going to be right. That's what that ride was about. And every time I see
a ride,
it's because something is not right.
That's right.
And they could have a good point. But in this case, I'm still looking for what went wrong. You know, that's where I'm at with it. And I would love for, you know, this type of information that you're putting out, because after all, I mean, you've been there, you understand, you know, politics. You understand how it is to have a position and find out later that you didn't get the slot.
Right.
And what did you do with that? How did you adjust, and how long did it take for you to adjust to that? Because this is not, you know, I can see God using one that a person didn't think would do really, really good and be more effective than the one they thought was going to do good.
Mm-hmm.
Concerning, and let me share this right here if I can.
Go ahead.
Now, I did not want to become a minister.
Mm.
It wasn't on my mind. I didn't even want to go into a church. It wasn't on my mind. I was minding my own business, doing what was on that little kid was saying. You know, I'm busy in these streets. Well, that's what I knew. I was going for what I knew. And I learned that, and it spun out of control. And then one day, I remember calling on the one I heard so much about. And I'm making a long story short, I heard about God. And he would accept me. And so I visited a church one day. And in visiting the church, I thought I was in a strange place when I walked in. Because I felt everybody knew him. I felt everybody in the church knew him except me. You know, so it was tough for me when I first stepped up in there. And well, make a long story even shorter, I'm like, man, I'm saying to myself, why are you in this church knowing what you're doing? I know nothing about the Bible, any of that. But I heard something when it said faith comes by hearing. And hearing through God, and I heard something one day that caused me to come back again. And I came back again and again and again. And I kept coming without a Bible in my hand, but I kept hearing something. And that's what caused me to draw a little bit closer. And suddenly, after a couple of years of that, it took that long for me, change took place.
And
the very thing that was controlling me was the street life and the drugs and everything that came with it. So why am I saying that? I'm saying that because I knew nothing about the politics. And so I know that just because people cast their vote in, it doesn't mean that they know about politics. It doesn't mean they don't.
True.
Yeah,
you know,
so the pain is, that's when the pain, the hurt is right there. And so they don't think this man here, he knows nothing about politics. He's a businessman. Oh, he owns this. He's rich. He's got this and he's got that. So you can pinpoint all of that. But have you ever seen God, the person, and turn his life around like he did me. I said it was shocked when my life changed. I was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
So the people were shocked. I dealt with that. It was weighing on me. I didn't think I should be in the church. I didn't think I should be become a minister. I didn't think none of that was fair to me. So I can only imagine what the people was thinking, but it was about what God felt.
Okay.
And so maybe, just maybe, the people would get a grip and give it a chance and watch what he does, and we just do what we can do to make a difference in our lives. And because I didn't know who the president was when in the streets. It didn't matter who he was. I didn't try to keep up with him. I didn't have that on my mind. But you on the other side, you, Pastor, I think got a very interesting and a unique way of sharing with the people about how to learn to accept how to deal with it. So I'd like to hear a whole lot more what you have to say about it. That's just my take of it right there. I don't like losing.
I think you're making a great point, man, in terms of understanding the mindset or the mentality, because, you know, when you really think about it, there are a lot of people who all they really know is we look to the government and elected officials to essentially be like our parents when it comes to government. And we expect them to, like you do your parents, provide certain things for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we assume that it should come automatically.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Understandably so. Okay.
Interestingly enough, there are some parenting styles that say, well, yes, we're going to provide your basic needs, your food, your shelter, your clothing, but we expect you to do chores. We expect you to do well in school.
Okay.
We expect you to demonstrate good, wholesome, moral activity and behavior, and we expect you to reflect our values as your parents. Is that the position that a professional figure takes?
Yes,
or
that's great.
Is it the case that as a member of the republic or the government or society, you tell the elected officials what you expect of them, and they are expected to follow that? I mean, as they represent you in the government. I think we got it twisted up there, Brother Preacher. So when we strive to answer the question, just what does my vote really mean, or what does it really mean to cast a political vote, the reality is, and I'm going to give a functional meaning of what it means to cast a vote.
Okay.
The only real power that a member of the republic or the government or citizen has is to exercise, through the casting of an individual vote, their will for society. When the framers came up with the Constitution and in it was the electoral process, they understood that the best way for the people's interest to be met is for them to have the power to choose who represent them. Now, we can say for African Americans, or Negroes at the time they were called, in 1870, after the Civil War was fought, slavery was ended. By 1868, we had the 14th Amendment that gave some rights of citizenship, but we still did not have the right of suffrage or to vote. And Frederick Douglass and others for it. So by 1870, we did in fact have the constitutional right through the 15th Amendment to vote. Here we are in 2016, and we got young people angry that, hey, I wasn't heard. I didn't get the person I wanted.
There's a process.
There's a process that we cannot circle or erase.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because I don't know, Pastor, because I don't know it's a hold outside, and if I don't pay attention, trip and fall in it, does that mean the hold don't move?
No, no, it doesn't. It does not. And that's the thing right there. That's it right there.
Right.
I like that. That's exactly what's going on. It's like, because I don't know that my vote may not come out like I want it to come out. The outcome may just be, is just, and you're thinking that you cheated me. My vote's supposed to. When I put the vote in, I'm thinking this way. That's what I would be thinking myself. My vote's supposed to make it count, and you're going to win because I voted for you.
Absolutely.
And that's it.
That's the fallacy.
Yes. That's what I see the riding going on is about.
Exactly.
I know my vote made it come out as a win, but nobody shared with them what you just shared. I don't know whether they did in time enough. I just think that had they done what you're sharing, they may not have been doing it riding. I don't know now. I just don't know.
I have been voting and been a part of America for all my life, and I have seen how, particularly African Americans, they tend to vote because of a particular platform or organization of voting strategies. And just recently, you hear it on the radio and you hear people say, we got to do it, we got to vote. Even President Obama emphasized the need of vote. That's one thing, though. I agree, you must vote, you should vote. Many people have made sacrifices to ensure that that right is present, that opportunity. And one, I would say, I would argue strongly that one should vote.
Okay.
But the other side of it is vote for who and why.
Right. Well, who should I vote for?
That's
why
the flip side of the coin.
Okay. Okay. All right. That's it. That's it. Knowing that, I think you can accept it a lot better.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, it makes sense. Make a lot of sense to me.
I am misguided and pigeonholed to think that I'm going to get something if I cast my vote for this person.
Yes,
that's
they gonna
it. Give me, when I don't get it, that's how I become despondent, man, and upset.
I'm telling you, man, that man made that call, man. I know, it was over 40 years ago. And, man, I can still see my foot on that bag, man. And I can see the umpire taking his hands and saying, Faith. And I said, oh, no. And we don't have no replay. Ain't no replay back then. So, it's like, okay, now, I'm thinking about, if this man is calling a game, he should make the correct call. And that's one. But when you have cast your vote and they calculated it all up and he came out as the winner, now you're telling me that he didn't win? I mean, if you had to ride, this man did not win. Look, these people are protesting and they're serious. Serious because that vote, they had cast that vote to say, I know that he didn't win because I voted. And that's why I say you have to learn how to accept when you don't win.
Absolutely.
And once you can do that, you start, at this point, okay, let me brace myself. And I know it's going to, and we know some people ourselves that it didn't take it well. And, and that's just the nature of it. And so, somehow or another, I know some people that didn't take it well, and I know some people that did take it well, and so you're right there. It's like, how do you deal with the acceptance of it and coming together and moving on now? And that I was in the best interest, living life and making sure that we don't have no division concerning it. But as of now, I think the division is pretty big concerning this election, and those in time, I'm sure, was the same way. So I just never seen a ride like that. I just put it like that, but not a protest.
It speaks to what we have to do for our young people. And that's a good segue into our last segment of the show.
We're about at the bottom of the hour here now. We're going to go to another brief commercial break. And when we come back, Rick, I'd like for us to answer that question that we're talking about now. How can a group of people make sure that their interest is represented in the government?
Okay.
As we move forward. You're listening to Talk Straight with your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Y. Dockery, and we're talking tonight on the topic Election 2016, the aftermath. How do we deal with this frustration if you're someone who is not happy about his turnout, if you're someone who's happy about it? How do we move forward in the aftermath? So on the other side of this particular break, we'll come back and strive to answer that question after these messages.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the homepage. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
Dr. Reuben Dockery. Tonight we're talking from the topic Election 2016, the aftermath. And we encourage you to give us a call here. We have a few, about 26 more minutes in the show. You still have time. If you've heard us, you're listening, you've archived other shows you want to share in, 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. We're on tonight with our good friend and supporter, Pastor Ricky Waller, the author of the powerful book, Still High. You can access that book on our webpage at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com. And simply go to the tab that says Contact, hover over it, and in our backstore page, on our backstore page, you can find that powerful book, Still High. I encourage you to look at it, and he is supporting our cause, and as you bless him, he blesses us to bless others, and we appreciate him tonight for that. Pastor Waller, welcome back again. It is about 8:05. Right here, Central Standard Time in Nashville, and we hope you're listening all over America on Blog Talk Radio right here at Talk Straight
And we're talking again about election 2016, the aftermath. When we last spoke, Pastor Waller, the question was raised, how can a group of people make sure their interest is represented in government? And I think that's a very relevant question. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I'm tuning in.
No, I was just going to say, and it requires us to be sober and honest about this in terms of what we haven't done and what we need to do, right? And
yeah.
Simply, it's important for us to tell ourselves that in order for us to fix what is broken, we've got to accept the reality that we have a broken mechanism.
Mm.
And somebody needs to fix that thing. Now the question becomes, who should fix it? Should we wait on the president, the governor, the mayor, Big Mama, Superman, Santa Claus, or even Jesus to fix it?
Jesus already done his thing, man.
Now, I believe what they say, Pastor, when they said he's coming back again.
Yeah.
He done been
okay.
here once. Uh-huh. And he left. But I heard that one day he's coming back. I believe that to be, that's my faith,
man. Yeah. Exactly.
But until he come, I got to eat, I got to sleep, and I got to keep on moving.
Yeah,
and
man.
How is it that I make sure that my interest is represented in the government? Romans 13 chapters did talk about how God instituted government and he permitted, I'm paraphrasing, men to have government, right? But I got to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because some don't know about
that. I got to eat, Rick. I got to eat.
Yeah, some people don't know about that. About the Bible, they don't know that it's in there. Some people's been going to church all their lives and don't know what's in there. So
all
some of that,
life.
Right, you know, and that really actually goes back to when you was talking about what did you do, knowing that you have some people who was for and you have some that was against. How do you pick two people and stir up the gift
Lord.
Within the two people? Amen. And then find the common solution and walk through it. This is what I would suggest. And you said it best earlier. Is having self-control. That's number one.
Okay.
That's a form of respecting others. You don't have to jump to conclusions because you now have braced yourself to say, okay, what can I do to make a difference? How can I have an open mind concerning this situation? And that has to become a practice. Yeah, I think that have to come because some people are really into this politics thing, and some people are big on it. And when you look at that and have no self control, you react and you act out, and you bring forth things that you wouldn't if you had self control. I'm a witness to that. How you know, to act out because I'm used to doing it this way. In other words, I have a mindset. I'm set in my ways, and I've heard in time past, you know, someone say, hey, that person there is set in their ways. You can't change that person. Well, I know better than that, man. I was set in my ways for a long time, you know, but the change took place. Glory to God. And I'm thankful that it took place. And so if you take these two people, and give them the type of information that would cause them to check themselves and realize that when we have to live this day, because this is what the word says, this is the day that the Lord God has made.
That's right.
Tell us to be glad in it. So how can you take people and rejoice in knowing that we have a day now to put forth effort to have, first of all, self-control and then apply how we're going to do all that we can do to say, okay, to make a better place we have to start somewhere. And
that's
what this protesting thing, because if it doesn't take place soon, then it'll linger. And the head of a person walking around with something so heavy on them, man, and not having self-control would cause this thing to linger on and on and on. But if you just gather yourself and say, okay, sometimes I win and sometimes I lose. Okay, this happened to be one of the times that I didn't win, and let me go ahead and accept that. You won it, and just get with what it is that I feel like you have a right to display. And just, if you're going to be honest about it, you don't have to pretend like I'm you for me, or I have to pretend like I'm for you, but if you be genuine and real with yourself, that's where it's going to start at. And when you can do that, then you're on the right track, you see. And you won't be wondering, I wonder, because this person lost, I wonder, are they really for what I'm getting ready to present? You know, and you know, even though you win, you still could have something to offer. And that is mine, number one. So, yeah, man, what can we do about it? Good question.
Yeah.
You know,
so let me offer this suggestion. As a starting point, I want to offer a three-step process, okay, for any group that want to work to ensure that their best interest is represented in government. When anyone is known to you to be running and they ask you or they solicit your support in their campaign, it's important that, one, you be politically informed. So you need to know what the issue is. You need to know who the individual who suggests that they can address and or resolve those issues for you, right?
Okay.
Not only your issue, other people around you, right, and how they're related. Then, two, you need to be politically organized. What I mean by that, in every voting district, there are what they call voting precincts. And that is the place that is broken down to where people that live on certain blocks or within a certain community, they represent that precinct. And those people need to be in agreement on what are the issues that are facing our families, our children, and residents on these blocks. And how is it, can we be organized to say, here's what we all agree we need or we want, such that we're not split up and manipulated, okay? So then you look at basically on the councilmatic level, who is it that we share these, all of these blocks or communities that are neighborhoods that are shared together in one local area, right? And then on the state level, we ask ourselves, who are our state representatives or state senators, right? Then we ask ourselves, who is it that represents us in the U.S. government, either a congressional district or a senator? And that's how it's broken up. But there's a need for political information or education, political organization, and then lastly, it's important that you are informed enough, you are empowered to go to the voting poll, to the voting booth, and cast an informed, educationally based vote. At the end of that day, when you realize I've done what I could, at least my conscience is clear that I voted for somebody who I thought was going to represent my best interest.
Okay, now. There you go.
And if my guy didn't get in, at least we all agree, me and other people that think like me, feel like me, agree that he was our best choice.
Right. Okay.
Now we know how to hold whoever got in accountable to our will and our interest.
Okay. So you saying they have a right to ask questions and be informed?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh my God.
And then hold on to the knowledge that they have just received. And then
that's
once
right.
they go to the union booth, they'll have a better understanding other than just going in there picking out this person because somebody told you to go vote for them.
There you go. There
and
you
I
go.
Think that, that's that. You told me to go vote for such and such, but they didn't win.
Or to just go in there and cast a vote, and I don't know who to vote for.
Yeah, exactly, and that's it.
Well, who do
I'm
I vote for? And
yes, and not knowing,
you know,
I just
who
don't...
do I vote for? What I do? How do I determine if this is a good one for me?
Right, exactly. When you really don't know, and that's another thing, Pastor Rice. There, you know, when you really don't know, I mean,
right.
it's election time, and you know, this is one of the times that you get a chance to hear some people talk. And I guess I can say this, if you don't mind. You know, where
okay.
I came from, talk is cheap, man. You know, you can say something really good. And it sounds so good that I'll try it. Well, that's how I got messed up. That's how I got caught up in it. That's exactly how I got caught up. So I have to be, I'm leery when it comes down to that. You know, somebody said, here, try this. Oh, man, I never tried it before, but try it. You just might like it. And, man, miserable life, man, for 20-plus years because of that. And so you got to be tough, man, to find out that you tried something and you didn't really get the results that you thought you was going to get. And you may just have a tough time the next time. But when you get the type of information that you shared, I think the next time one have a chance to cast a vote, then they'll have the knowledge and they'll understand it. And whatever the outcome would be, they can accept it. And that's pretty good. I need that. I like that.
I think these individuals, particularly the young people that we see, there's an opportunity for us to seize on that energy, that zeal, that drive to participate, you know, and to be a part. But let's educate them first. Let's make sure we invest in them with good values and qualities that will empower them to say, yes, we want to be active members of the Republic or the Constitutional Republic of America. And we do want to be able to have our will properly expressed. We can settle for the fact that if there are other peoples who don't agree with us and we all participated in the same political process, we can accept better then if we don't, if the candidate or the person we're voting for, supporting, is not successful. We can accept that better.
Yeah. So you're saying, and if you say that, share that with me one more time, faster than last phrase.
So I'm saying that if once we have gave an informed vote, we were educated, knowledgeable of the issues and the candidates, we weighed that thing out, right? We organized ourselves.
You done all that you were assigned to do.
Right. And we went to the polls in an organized fashion. Even if our candidate, the person we're supporting, are not successful at the end of the electoral process because they lost the vote. They lost the majority vote. That's what makes us a democracy, right? Everybody's voice should be heard. And if my candidate lost, at least I can feel better knowing that I am telling for my best interest.
So you say you would feel better now because of the information? At least that's what I'm saying. You said because the information that you gathered before casting vote caused you to be able to say, now I'm better now because I know now that I didn't know then. And that
right there,
I think that'll help. I think that
it
would really,
help a lot.
Yes.
But we got to get our babies, Rick, because you and I are of the age that we're not going to get any younger.
Right, exactly.
And I'm troubled by the thought that I ain't gonna get no good looking, but no more good looking. But I have to live with that, you know. But we have to catch our young people, man, and empower them with knowledge and understanding.
Yes. I think they deserve it, man. You know, we have to.
If we don't, every time they face a crisis, they will be out in the street, sir, and we'll have mayhem.
Yes, and I definitely wasn't expecting that, man. I really wasn't expecting that. I thought maybe, hey, when they say that this guy won and, you know, it was done, I think they was just ready to say, okay, let's move on. Then I looked and seen all those people. I said, what in the world is this? And I found out that that's what it was about. I thought it was something else, actually. Yeah, I really did. I'm just, just information that you share, good information.
It's going to get better. The show is recorded. If you were not able to call us, we still have a few minutes. We're getting ready to wrap it up. You're not able to call us tonight, you can archive the show two ways. You can go to our website, bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com. And then click right on the blog talk tab at the bottom, and it will have those shows, or you can go to our archive shows right there from the website. I want to answer those three questions again by way of review. I believe it's important that if we have a dialogue, we should have some sense of focus. And we talked in the beginning of the show about, gave some information and background on the electoral system in America and the two major parties that were at play now, and how they came to be, who they were. So let me just give a rundown on that, and then we're going to prepare to get out of here for the night. We have about 6 minutes. The first question we asked is were each of the two major political parties formed, and who were their leaders? We learned tonight that the Democratic Party was formed in 1828, first led by Andrew Jackson. The Republican Party was formed in 1854 and led by Abraham Lincoln. We asked the question, just what does it really mean to cast a political vote? And we resolved that the only real power any citizen, a member of the Republic government in America, has is to exercise their is to be exercised through the casting of an individual vote. That's where your power comes from, your voice. So that's why voting is important. Then lastly, we asked the question, how can a group of people make sure that their interest is represented to government? And the answer, through a three-step process. One, politically organize yourself. Inform yourself of what's going on. Two, be politically organized, and then three, actively participate at the voting booth. I hope that this information will be useful to some of our listeners, or to all of our listeners, and I hope that we will be able to move forward in our endeavors to take this message to 10 cities, Chicago, Detroit, and the areas. Likewise, Indianapolis, Indiana, St. Louis, Missouri, Nashville, Tennessee, we're right here, Memphis, Tennessee, take it to Birmingham, Alabama, take it to New Orleans, Louisiana, we're hoping to take it to Houston, Texas, and we're also hoping to take our message to Miami, Florida, in the Miami-Dade County area. Those are the cities that will be able to share our crime intervention advocacy model, as well as our powerful lecture series that we know will make a difference to those people who have the opportunity to hear from it. Historical lecture series, Progression of African-American Male Hostility. 5 generations of struggle from 1865 up to 2015. course, we're here now in 2016, and in just a few days, we'll be in 17. But yet, it seems to me that we still, too many of our young people have not learned the important lessons from the experiences of their forefathers. Somebody's got to turn that around. Help us with that. BFCinstitute.com. Go to our webpage. Look at us and make a contribution today. Your contribution is tax deductible. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your contribution is totally tax deductible. You've been listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Y. Dockery. I'm grateful to have my very, very good friend, Pastor Ricky Waller, the author of a powerful book. Had an opportunity to read it. My son had an opportunity to read it before he went off to college, and he found it to be most interesting. I told him about how when I first came to Nashville, Pastor Waller, two things I heard about, and that was the Barbershop Boys and Slick Rick.
Oh, my.
Which was your street name when you were in your stuff, man.
Yeah,
but God has been gracious. People, let me tell you, God has been gracious. He laid his hand on this man, took him out the street, cleaned him up, and now he's transforming lives and put his life in the form of a book. Powerful story that must be read. Still high. This time it ain't high from no superficial high. It's a high he never got to come. I ain't trying to tell you a story, but I know a little bit about it. I know a little bit about it. So again, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell somebody. Go right ahead. Finish.
Yeah, so I was just going to encourage our listening audience to go to our back store and get you a copy. Reach out to us, contact us, and we'll be happy to get you a copy. $15 for the book. $15 for the book. Very powerful book. And a contribution, he has promised to share a contribution of each book with Building Families and Communities Institute as we strive to help others through our various initiatives, such as the Parent Empowerment Initiative, local to Nashville, the Crime Intervention Advocacy Model, which is a nationwide model, and the Traveling Lecture Series to those 10 cities that we identified. Pastor Waller, we thank you. Our time is just about up here. We're going to end the show again on this note, and we hope that you will join us next Tuesday on November the 22nd. There'll be November the 15th. November the 15th. We're endeavoring to have a guest from St. Louis on then, a gentleman who runs a home for troubled men. But look out for our announcements. And we again, thank you. This has been your host, Reuben Dockery, with Talk Straight. And thank you, Pastor Waller, for being with us. And we're going to get out of here on this note.
God bless you, Pastor.
Okay.
You got to get the beat.